Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
The Bitcoin jumped to a new all-time high after a successful launch of the new US Bitcoin ETF. Yeah, how is the feeling on Wall Street? Is this a game changer? And how's the earnings season on Wall Street? This is the IG Trading Talk and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Idina Boumidi. He's the head of markets at IG and the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange and today at the New York Stock Exchange, Peter Tuckman. Guys, so good to see you.
Great to see you. Thanks for having me.
Peter, last week the first Bitcoin ETF launched at the New York Stock Exchange. How's your feeling about that?
You know what, guys? I will put out the disclaimer that I don't recommend cryptocurrency or any other investment. That's not what I do. But I could not tell you that I'm more excited than ever to watch BITO, the first Bitcoin ETF, be launched here on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. We can no longer dismiss cryptocurrency as some kind of a phase or a bubble or anything. Crypto, Bitcoin trading at 66,000, right? Ethereum trading at 4,000. Companies around the world, and let alone celebrities and whatnot, and pay centers are acknowledging Bitcoin as a payment facility or a payment structure. And we've got to, you know, whatever our opinion is about it, about the space, we've got to pay attention to it because it's definitely the way of the future. For me, as you know, as the ambassador here at the New York Stock Exchange, that the Stock Exchange, by it listing here on the floor of the NYSE, is huge validation for the stock, for the ETF, and for the space in general, right? Look, I often try and do my own due diligence when I'm talking about a subject, but you can be sure that the NYSE, an institution over 100 years old, has done their due diligence before they list a crypto ETF as BITO. Day one, 26 million shares. Day two, 30 million shares traded, right? More than $1 billion over 2 days have gone into the space. So we can no longer dismiss this as anything else, accepting something. This is here to stay, and it's worth paying attention to.
Peter, thank you so much for this inside view. Salah, you brought us the chart of the week, and it's also about the crypto markets.
Yes, exactly. It's about a graph, a chart, which is showing the market cap, the total market cap of global currency, cryptocurrency markets here from CoinMarketCap. What we can see, we reached also a new all-time high in the summarized of all the market cap of cryptocurrencies. This shows that altcoins also are picking up with this rally. This is not a only Bitcoin Ethereum rally. It's also an altcoin rally. So you see there's a really heavy momentum picking up in cryptocurrencies, and we have a new high, which is always good. And we can see a small divergence on stock markets. We are slightly in a range or decreasing while cryptocurrencies are picking up again.
And Salah, one more topic. On November 11th, there's the IG Turbo Trading Day. What can we expect of that great event?
Oh, yes. The IG Trading Day this year, Turbo Trading Day, will be in really interesting a combination of lectures, of live trading. We will have interesting German traders like Orkan Kuyas, André Stagge, for example. I will be there as well. So this will be a really interesting, nice thing. I recommend everybody to join, to learn, to get something like new. Like Peter and I always tell you, technical analysis will be a topic. Seasonal patterns, especially in the year-end rally, how to filter them, how to use turbos for trading the year end rally and so on.
And guys,
and the Boumidi band, and the Boumidi bands, I hope.
I definitely, there will be also a thing that I will talk about.
Awesome. And guys, if you want to register, you will find the link below in the text. So look it up and check it out. Peter, it's earnings season on Wall Street. The companies are opening their books. How do you feel when you see the Netflix, the Teslas? How's the U.S. corporate world? How's the corporate world in shape?
So let's say, you know, 86% of the earnings that have been released over the last week have beat. Okay, we saw Netflix beat. We saw Tesla beat. You know, a couple of them were a little bit weaker. IBM, I believe, was one of those cases. We saw some of the retailers come out and they are doing better. So, look, it's really, you know, I'm a firm believer in price action rather than earnings. I believe they are able to curate the release of those numbers to hopefully, especially with a fragile economy that we're dealing with right now, to try and prop up the earnings release to the best of their ability and give some guidance for the future. Let's be clear, ladies and gentlemen, we are still in a recovery story. We are still in a shelter-in-place situation. There are places throughout the world where the virus is spiking up once again. We are seeing on the other side of that, U.S. is now opening up on November 6th, travel from Europe, but we are seeing some situations with Canada and other nations around the world. There is a new Delta plus variant also coming out that's rearing its head in the U.K. We are seeing some new lockdowns there, and it's traveling across the border. Corporations are doing better. We are in the midst of a recovery story. Whatever happens eventually, it seems to me, we will be living with this virus. So I think it's time we need to get back to work. There are obstacles, which are not being obstacles, economic obstacles. Clearly, inflation one, tapering one, and the supply chain story is the third, which have a huge impact on our economy, and it's still an ever-evolving story with a lot of potentially negative impact. However, it's not reflected in the earnings season, this section, right? I think there's momentum, there's excitement. We are trading at record highs in the Dow and the S&P. The companies that have released so far are showing robust balance sheets, while we're still sort of sputtering in the recovery story, right? You've got the hospitality industry having some troubles, the cruise line industry having some troubles. You know, you are seeing retailers having a little bumps in the road. As there is no playbook for this recovery story, guys, right? We don't know how we are going to end up here. There is fear, what we're seeing in our country, of people still having trouble going back to work. We are seeing some obstacles within the labor force. People, you know, look, the supply chain story is a huge deal. There are thousands of boats sitting outside LA Harbor, not able to dock. We don't have the capacity and the wherewithal and the employment factor to unload those containers. We do not have the truckers to take those goods to the heartland of the United States. The supply chain story is one. It's a function of the global pandemic. These were companies that needed to do what they had to do to survive through the pandemic. Now, as I described in an interview I did a little earlier today, it's really no different than finding a car in your grandfather's garage from 1950. You just don't take it out and drive it down the street. You have to maintain it. You have to wipe it down. You have to give it a wash. You have to grease it. You have to put new oil in it. That's the same thing that's going on with the supply chain. The inflation story, I don't believe, is a transitory one. The labor problem, I don't believe, is a transitory one. We're coming out of an unprecedented two-year global pandemic and economic shutdown. It's going to take years, perhaps maybe even a generation, to get back to any semblance of normal. The inflation story, commodities are here on the upside price-wise, I believe, to stay. It's going to take a while to unload those boats and get them going, to get people back in the labor force. Here in the U.S., 4.3 million people quit their jobs in August. I don't even know what that means. How are they supporting their families? I know there's a contingency of the United States government and population who thinks people are lazy. They're getting employment checks. They don't want to go back to work. I think that's all a lot of BS, in my opinion. I think people are dying to get back to work, but they're apprehensive. I think commodity prices are high. Goods and services are high. The supply chain story is an ever-evolving one. It's not going to happen overnight. I think it's going to cause some bumps in the road for the Christmas season, and that will be reflected in the earnings release in quarter number one, 2022. So for right now, the earnings releases have been robust. The banks are robust. We are kind of trading a lot on hope that we're going to get through this. I'm not sure. And, you know, and I have no problem saying I don't know. I don't know a lot about how this is going to unfold. For right now, the labor force question, the inflation story, the supply chain story is a troublesome one. And I don't think anybody knows the answer. If they claim they do, I don't believe that story. So I think a day at a time, we're coming into the end of the fourth. We're coming into the fourth quarter. So far, earnings are okay. We do have some bumps in the road and obstacles here going forward. Is it going to be a Santa Claus rally? The market seems to show us that it is really pushing away, kicking the ball down the road when it comes to tapering, when it comes to supply chain, when it comes to labor force problems. You know, so is the market going to continue to forge higher into the end of the year? It looks like it. I'm not making a prediction. I'm telling you what the market's telling me. Right now, the market has not responded in a negative way on a long-term follow-up on any negative story. If the market wanted to sell off, it has plenty of information that would have put an end to this bull market. Yet it continues to forge higher. While you and I speak, the three of us today, this market is trading at record highs in every indice with robust volumes in the markets, with robust earnings coming out on the markets. So, I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine.
Maybe going back to the Bitcoin ETF, Peter, before I ask you the question, I want to summarize actually the questions that I got. Please, people and audience, an ETF is not only an ETF. There are different ways how to create an ETF. I'm happy that we have the Bitcoin ETF started and we had a lot of struggle in the US with SEC to get an ETF, which is now there, which is where I'm happy. But people need to know that this ETF is made through futures for the front month future on the CME. So what always can affect this ETF are rollover costs that we have seen in crude oil last year. So be aware that this is not a physical ETF. And this is actually the question that I want to tell you, ask you, Peter. Is that a door opener that we have now, this first ETF? Do you think that in future there will be a willing, there will be the possibility to achieve or create physical ETFs, Bitcoin ETFs? So ETFs that are investing physically in Bitcoin.
So look, this is, I don't know the inner workings of the ETF business. It's important for people to know. When we see something like cryptocurrency take off and become something that's sort of out of the grasp of a big part of our community, trading at $66,000. I don't not necessarily think that we would have had a BTF if Bitcoin was still trading at $2,000. Mm-hmm. So that is it. What does an ETF do? It gives us exposure to Bitcoin and the other altcoins, right? So it gives, the market is always looking for new instruments for to give the public a way to get exposure to these things. People need to understand what an ETF is. Right, you've got sector ETFs, which means that if you have a retail ETF, it will cover all the different companies. So if one particular thing happens poorly at Macy's, but the retail space is a robust one, the ETF will give you exposure to that space. And it gives you the ability as a retail investor to get exposure to a space that you have interest in. You may not be able to afford to buy Kohl's, Macy's, Targets, Walmart, or whatnot, but you may like the space and you want to get involved. Same thing with BITO. What's different about BITO, and I think you illuminated on it and elaborated on it, it's not only an ETF, but it's a futures ETF, right? So it's going to have some of the characteristics of trading Bitcoin in the future. So I don't really know about that, so I can't really talk to it. But what I will say is that how wonderful in this space that seems to be a place, crypto is here to stay. It's starting to celebrate. How is that? The whole space is off to the races. Ethereum is trading at 4,000. Bitcoin is 66,000, trading at record highs. The volume, once again, I'm a forensic broker. I try to analyze what the market tells me. And when you have 26 million shares trade in day one, 30 million shares trade in day two, the appetite is there. And not everybody can get exposure to a stock.
Exactly.
$66,000 a share. It gives everyone the opportunity to get exposure into the crypto world. It's more exciting. So that's the best. The excitement is there. The enthusiasm is there. I think it's proven. The validation by being listed on the NYSE is clear validation. So I think you've got to pay attention and give it the credence that it deserves.
Guys, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. Salah Edidebumidi, the head of markets at IG, and the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. Pleasure to be here.
And thank you for watching. Don't forget to register for the IG Turbo Trading Day on November 11th. Thank you for today. Take care. All the best.
Und wenn euch diese Sendung gefallen hat, dann abonniert gerne den Podcast von Inside Wirtschaft und gebt uns ein Like.